Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Bub Nation!
Let's go! Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, everyone. We are firmly in March now.
We are. We're marching on. Marching on together if we're leads.
Yes, sir.
How was your weekend?
I had a great weekend.
Yeah? Any highlights?
I saw my favorite band.
Ooh!
That was dope.
Let me guess. It's one word.
Nope.
Wait, no. Inject pain.
Invent anime.
Yeah, I was close.
No, that's I chilled, I slept. It was great.
Hell yeah.
How was yours?
I had a great weekend. First of all, Nuggets beat the Lakers.
Yep.
Again. That's always a highlight. And then after the Nuggets beat the Lakers, I was like, hey, we should watch a movie. So Allie and I watched Dune.
Oh, the Dune first one?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was like, damn, that was lit. That was electric. And like, I feel like in the spirit of millennials and like Gen Z and binge watching, we were just like, okay, well, now we have to see the second one. Like, I'm not going to just sit around and wait for 6 months for that to hit Netflix or whatever.
Yeah, you already started.
Yep. So for the first time in 7.5 years, of our relationship, Allie and I went to a movie together.
I mean, I get that because I think I've been to like two movies since even the start of like COVID, which is the last 4 years. But
it is kind of
crazy.
It was kind of wild. Like, it was just kind of like a running joke for a while, and now it's dead. But last time I went to a movie in theaters, I kid you not, the seats did not recline.
Yeah, it's been a minute for you then.
Yeah.
Like, how was the movie though?
It was great, dude.
Yeah.
It was so good. I saw it in like Dolby Cinema, some like extra shit. It was so awesome, so loud. And it reminded me of like, okay, there are some pros to seeing movies in theaters. Also cons though. I had to pee for the entire second half of the movie.
Yep.
Like,
you just got to take the L, bro.
I think, here's my proposal. Everyone gets a remote at their seat. If over 75% of the people have hit the pause button, we get a 5 minute pause.
Why don't we just go back to like the olden days and have an intermission?
I'm down for intermission.
Stop the movie in half. Give everyone 10 minutes.
Why wouldn't the movie theaters be in favor of that? Because then everyone goes out and spends more money.
Exactly. I don't know.
I would have for sure gotten another drink if there was an intermission.
Yep.
So that's just free game for the theaters out there. But in the end, sick. Highly recommend seeing Dune 2.
Cool. I need to get on that, man. I need to see it too. The first one, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That was, I remember it came out during COVID. It was like, it came out straight on Max.
Oh, really?
So I just watched it in my bedroom, yeah.
That wasn't in theaters?
I mean, if it came out during COVID, I don't think so.
Wow.
It was, but it wasn't like actual theaters. It was like select theaters, only so many people could go in and watch it kind of thing.
Okay.
We're presented by Illegal Pete's, everyone's go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beers. Today, we are continuing our positional breakdown ahead of spring ball. We are, today, 2 weeks out from the start of spring practices.
Wow. That's great, dude.
Can't wait. We'll talk about Jacob Pleat entering the portal. One of the best players in the 2025 class included CU in his top 12. Reggie Bush, Johnny Football, and the Heisman.
Ooh.
But we start with these cornerbacks, and of course, where else than Travis Hunter? And I want to make sure we talk about him, too. We're not going to just gloss over him and go, yeah, he's Travis. And
yeah. Then,
I mean, this guy is the best cornerback in the nation.
He is the best college corner I've ever seen with my own two eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not saying that there haven't been other great ones. But, like, I don't know. Like, when Pat Surtain came to the Broncos, like, I watched his Alabama film.
Mm-hmm.
But I just – you don't pay that close of attention, you know. Like, in terms of people that I've just been watching – I've never seen a corner quite like Travis. And we've also had some great ones come through CU. Jimmy Smith, you know, a multi, I would say probably spent a decade in the NFL,
yeah.
Was fantastic in college. None of them even come close to the types of things that Travis Hunter does. He is almost, this is going to sound crazy, he's almost too valuable.
Yeah.
When he's not on the field, it is so painfully obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's out there, it's just like, okay, they're either going to not throw his way or ball's going the other way.
Yep.
And like, those are their two options, it feels like. Obviously gave up a couple catches last year, a couple big ones, but for the most part, it just takes away half of the field.
Yep. I mean, you brought up PS2, and I have a feeling we're going to kind of compare them a lot over the next year or so. But I remember watching PS2, like, before that draft, and he was just, like, so clean. Like, everything was so smooth with him. Like, the athleticism was so easy. And Travis definitely has some of that. But the playmaking ability is just, it's worlds apart, honestly. Travis, just his football mind is, he's so quick at processing. And he just knows what's going to happen so often that it puts him in position to make these amazing plays. We saw a handful of them this last year, and I can't wait to see how many we see this year.
I know. I just, he's truly a generational player.
He really is.
And when I'm actually the biggest stickler of that word. I think it's thrown around way too much. Mm-hmm. And when I say that someone's generational, I always say, if you say that, that means that you can't say that about anyone else for a generation.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there can only be one.
I mean, he's truly generational in the sense that he's going to be like Deion Sanders when he enters the league. He's going to have this following. He's going to already have this brand, like, he's just going to be already elevated beyond even some of the current superstars.
Yep. Did you see the picture that came out this weekend of him holding up the fish?
Yeah.
And he just has like a goofy smile and his glasses on. And I was just looking at him like, this is really the best college football player in the world.
He's the best.
Yep.
He's the best.
Yep. We are. I say it every time, but I say it every time for a reason. I don't want anyone to forget this. We are incredibly blessed to be able to get to watch him play mm-hmm. for our team. And I don't want to take 1 second of that for granted.
Definitely. Do you think that he'll be managed at all during spring ball?
No. I mean, in what sense?
Like, I guess just trying to, like, watch out for him and just, I guess, limit some snaps early on so that he's completely ready to go during the season. Not that he wouldn't be otherwise, but
I think we'll just do the same thing we did last year, which is alternate days. Actually, spring last year, he was all offense.
He was all offense, yep.
I think he's past that point now. Although, mm-hmm. again, harder to learn the offense than the defense, but I guess you're new on both sides of the ball.
I'd imagine he'd spend more time on offense again, though.
Yeah, I think
we've
you're right.
We've talked about it so many times. It takes longer to learn an offense than a defense.
I think maybe it's 2-1. Maybe he does just do the whole spring on offense again.
Mm-hmm. Then the next guy, of course, Cormani McClain. Massive year for him. We saw the flashes against USC. He, of course, just moved in what, July, I think it was, so he was a little late getting to campus. He had to adjust going up from sea level to over a mile high above the sea level here in Boulder. What do you see for him, I guess, this next year? Do you think he's ready to just solidify and lock down CB2?
Well, let me start by saying this. He is the linchpin. He is the catalyst. He can be the difference. And this is going to sound like hyperbole, but I really don't think it is. He can be the difference between this team being really good and being elite.
Yep.
he has that much control over how good this team can be. And maybe control isn't the right word, but the point being, there are some other really good corners on this roster, and we're about to talk about them. None of them have the ceiling as high as Cormani.
Mm-hmm.
If Cormani can get anywhere near his ceiling this year, you have transformed the defense, and we talked about it all last year, and unfortunately it never came to fruition, but if you can just play press man on the outsides or even just man most downs on both of their top two wide receivers, you unlock unlimited possibilities for what Robert Livingston can call. So for me, Cormani might have the most responsibility of anyone in terms of helping this team reach its ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer your question, I think he can do it.
I think so too. I think we're going to get a big year from Cormani McClain. You've just already seen, I mean, the guy's just so much more well ingrained into the program, into CU, into Boulder. He wasn't even here this time last year. Now he's out there grinding. He's going to be a part of spring ball. He's going to be learning the defense early. Like, it's going to be, I'd almost say we're going to probably get a completely different player almost.
It feels like it. It feels like that's a real possibility. And early returns sound good. He looks a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
A lot bigger.
Yeah.
I've said this before, but it bears repeating. The fact that Cormani didn't transfer.
Yep.
And this is not a knock on anyone who did transfer, because everyone has their own reasons to do it. But everyone, I guess from an outside, if you were looking at Cormani's situation on paper, you would have come away saying number one transfer candidate on the roster probably.
Mm-hmm.
Still has this free transfer, didn't go the way he wanted to, was coached incredibly hard, got called out publicly a couple times, etc. All of those things lead to, okay, he's going to transfer. The fact that he didn't tells me a lot about his conviction and his self-awareness. It's really easy, dude, when you're that hyped and things don't go your way, to start pointing fingers.
Mm-hmm.
To start saying, Coach Prime lied to me. He said this, that, and the other thing. He didn't follow through. Charles Kelly or whatever put me in a bad position. Mathis doesn't like me. It's really easy to start pointing fingers. But if you can look in the mirror and say, it's not them, it was me. I need to step my game up, which is what I feel is conveyed by Cormani staying around, says a lot about him and makes me really excited for what's ahead for him.
This is just the power of Coach Prime, though. Like, guys, I feel like, especially at the cornerback position, are more prone to listen to him than they would almost any other college coach. Like, they brought him in, Coach Prime brought him in for a reason, and we didn't see that reason last year. So while he was coached hard and it was a difficult year for him in multiple ways, like, I think he realized that this is truly the best situation for him, not only now, but for his future, because he wants to play in the NFL. He was a five-star. He's got the entire pedigree to do it. He's got tremendous length at the position to be a, I mean, we saw in the USC game, the way he was able to kind of go all the way around Brendan Rice in the end zone and get that PBU, like, that's just a taste, I think, of what he can do at this level. So it was, the maturity is starting to show greatly from Cormani McClain. You get that, mix that with the talent, better conditioned, I don't see how he doesn't lock down CB2 and just almost become an impact player, really.
To me, it's just consistency. He mm-hmm. just has to find a way to be consistent. That's consistently showing up to meetings on time. That's consistently giving 100% effort at practice. That's consistently taking the points that his coaches give them and implementing them on the field. All of the stuff that we've talked about so far is fantastic, and I'm hoping that that all leads to that point. But the truth is, like, Coach Prime is still going to expect that of him, and he's going to expect the exact same Cormani every single day. And I'm really crossing my fingers that Cormani brings that.
Mm-hmm. Spring's going to be huge from him.
Yep.
That's going to be literally like a time to really bring out the measuring stick and see, okay, how far have you come since you showed up in July?
Yep.
Next guy, a guy who I think has a real chance to become cornerstone of this defense, Preston Hodge.
Nice pun. The third Pete, again, you know, we're talking about the ceiling here, because the next guy we're going to talk about, you might disagree with my take on him, but I have a strong take on him.
Okay.
Preston Hodge, in this ceiling world we're talking about, you have Travis locking down one side, Cormani locking down the other, and then Preston Hodge just working in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
And Preston Hodge, I believe, was he the highest graded
G5 cornerback in the country last year?
Highest graded G5 cornerback in the country. This dude can cover.
And he did this at Liberty. This was a top 25 program mm-hmm. throughout the year.
Big, high leverage matchups. He's the real deal. Everyone that we've talked to loves him.
Mm-hmm.
Says he's kind of just a put your head down and grind type of guy. Those three together is dangerous. And again, you know, it opens up so many options for Robert Livingston if you have three guys that you can trust. And not just trust, but are playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest one for us to bring up, which we brought up before, is a no-fly zone. It's Aqib Talib, it's Chris Harris, it's Bradley Roby.
Mm-hmm.
And Wade Phillips was able to bring so many exotic pressures and zero blitzes and things that you just can't do if you don't have 100% confidence in your corners. And, you know, Cam says that this defense wants to be more aggressive. That's yep. the thing that you can do, but you have to be able to trust your secondary, and especially you have to trust your corners to not get beat quickly and be able to stay with guys to give that pressure, that extra half beat to get home.
I've talked about this a lot when it comes to Robert Livingston, and not even him, but Lou Anarumo and the Bengals defense. When you watch them, the slot is a very, very active position for them.
Yep.
Mike Hilton played in the slot for them, a few other guys, and they were able to bring pressure with the slot. They were able to do a bunch of different coverages. So having an experienced guy who's been there and done that in college already, and Preston Hodge, to come in and just really take over that slot position, you don't have to, you know, kind of develop him. He's ready to go. He just has to learn the defense, and the guy can cover. Throw him out there, blitz him, whatever.
Absolutely. I meant to ask you this off air, but I'll just ask you on air. Hearing Cam talk about the fact that they're watching so much Bengals film,
mm-hmm.
does that free you up and make you want to go do a Bengals defense film room?
I actually wanted to do Preston Hodge next.
Okay, all right.
But
because I think it'd be cool to dive into the scheme of Lou Anarumo and give people a little bit of an idea of what they might see from this defense.
I mean, I've got some clips in that Livingston article that came out a few weeks ago, and I clipped a bunch of stuff that I didn't use, so maybe.
Let's bully Jake into doing it. I just want to read it.
I felt like doing Preston Hodge first, though.
That would be sick, too.
We'll see, though. And I also thought about doing the next guy, DJ McKinney.
So DJ McKinney, and like I said, I think you might disagree with me here. I think he is the favorite to be cornerback number two.
Really?
I think that Cormani, well, again, as I mentioned, he's the ceiling. He's the linchpin. He's the catalyst of taking this defense to a whole other level. I think that DJ McKinney is going to come in with some of that consistency and things that I mentioned in experience, even though they're probably the same age, if not close.
I think he's 1 year older than Cormani.
I think that he might be the favorite to take that job, and that Cormani is going to have to demonstrate all the things that we mentioned to elevate himself up into that position. DJ McKinney, we did the guys who haven't been talked about enough video, and yeah. like he was number one for me. I'm like, I think there's a chance you could say DJ McKinney to a above average Buffs fan, and they don't know that name yet.
Uh-huh.
I think it might be the single most underappreciated transfer. Dude is legit.
He's a big kind of, I guess, wild card in this whole thing, because he could really, you know, flip the entire hierarchy of cornerback on its head, outside of Travis, obviously. Because I think he could play slot, too. Like, I know I just kind of gushed about Preston Hodge, but DJ McKinney kind of did some things all over the field as well. And he does have some length, too. He's 6'2".
Yeah.
So he could play outside as well. I just feel like it's Cormani's spot to lose. And I think the ceiling might be just higher with Cormani at CB2.
I think it's higher, but I think it's Cormani's spot to gain, not okay. his spot to lose.
Okay. He's a redshirt freshman. He had his best game that he played last year was the last game in the Big 12 title game. That's when he had the most tackles, most production on the football against Texas. He did have 5 passes defense total last year. Hasn't gotten a career pick yet.
Okay. He'll get it.
All right. Last guy to round out the top 5, Omarion Cooper. Kind of, he came in and, you know, we had Cormani and we talked about Cormani. If he's ready and he can do it, he can plug and play CB2, but it was Omarion Cooper who came in and really held it down for at least the first month or so.
I think that Omarion Cooper is, I think that the feeling towards him is totally off. I think that a lot of people think that he had a bad season.
It got rough towards the end. The Stanford game, he like tripped and fell. He allowed the 98-yarder, and then he was kind of just not out on the field as much later in the year, though.
Yes. But when he was on the field, he was really good. In fact, I think we might have given him like Defensive Player of the Year in our midseason awards or something like that.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, he was really, really good to start the season, and he drew some tough matchups. You know, it's not like it was all just easy out there in those early games in the season. So, I would call him a dark horse at this point,
mm-hmm.
only because it's the old like new shiny toys. Everyone forgets about what was there.
Right,
dude can play.
Yeah, yeah, he really can play. He impressed me a lot at times last year. I don't know if he was in the doghouse or what happened towards the end of the year, if he had an injury or what was going on, but we just didn't see him as much.
Yep.
I mean, the whole secondary kind of fell apart. I mean, Shiloh got kicked out of the UCLA game. Travis was hurt at one point. You know, Cormani, we didn't know what was going on. So that kind of played into
Carter got hurt.
Yep.
And he had like the thing on the side. This was like, there was always something.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was on the field, Omarion Cooper played really well. Yep. I thought.
Yeah, I don't think that people were saying like he's going to transfer and all this, blah, blah. Like, I think there's an entire possibility that the top 5 cornerbacks all get solid playing time too, though.
I mean, I was just going to say, of these 5 players, you could take any combination of 2 of them, and I think they would start at a lot of schools.
Definitely. I think so too.
So it's a good problem to have. We always know that that Coach Prime has a stranglehold on that position when it comes to recruiting or the transfer portal.
Right. All right, okay, it's time to chill, bro.
Hell yeah.
With our friends over at Coors Light, how many Coors Lights did you crush this weekend?
You know, a normal amount.
Great answer. I'll say the same. I crushed a normal amount of Coors Light this weekend, too. It's going to be prime Coors Light time coming up. We got basketball tournaments, conference tournaments, and we got the NCAA tournament coming up. No better beer to chill with than Coors Light. Come by the DMVR bar, crush a Coors Light, or you can get it delivered straight to your door if you go to CoorsLight.com/DMVR. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. So when you want to hit reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Again, go to CoorsLight.com/DMVR. To get it delivered straight to your door with Instacart, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Also, check out our friends over at Game Time for the best deals on last-minute tickets. My favorite service because they reward you for procrastinating. The longer you wait, the cheaper the tickets get most of the time. So, if you're looking to go to a game tonight, tomorrow, this week, just get on Game Time. I do the old, like, every hour, every 2 hour skim, just open up the phone, see our price is going up, price is going down. A lot of times they're going down as you lead up to the game. It's a great way to get in. And when you use the code BUFFS, that's code BUFFS, at Game Time, you are going to get $20 off your first purchase. That's BUFFS at Game Time. Get rewarded for procrastinating.
Let's go. Someone asked about Travis J. He's moved to safety. So we will talk about him another day.
But
same with Carter.
Speaking of both of those guys, after the last time he was on the show, Unk texted us and was like, oh, man, I forgot to mention both Travis J. and Carter Stoutmeyer have looked really good coming back from injury.
Yep.
So that's good to hear.
And Travis J., not to get into him, but real quick, I mean, he came in hurt. He was hurt a lot of the year, and then he was just kind of thrown into the fire against Oregon. Didn't go well, understandably, but now he's just got so much more time to not only get acclimated again like a lot of these guys, but get healthy. Just start running, doing normal football things.
And there will be someone on this roster who was on the team last year and wasn't a contributor who just blossoms. And it just clicks, and we're like, oh, my God, Travis J, or oh my God, Demoy Kennedy. Like,
right.
Someone's going to pop that people are underestimating.
All right, we got four guys left here. All young guys. All were freshmen last year. Let's start with Adam Hopkins because, you know, we were kind of between him and Omari and Miller last year. Like, who's going to break out at wide receiver? We never really saw Hopkins outside of, like, Well-Off playing wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him a lot on kickoff. That was about it, though. But he's finally moving over to corner full-time, was kind of doing a little bit of it last year. But he's got the athleticism, man. This is a four-star athlete. Like,
yeah.
This is another player who could just pop.
Again, another one that it kind of fits in that group I was just saying. People who are on the team last year that didn't contribute, that all of a sudden jump off the page. Great ball skills,
mm-hmm.
super fluid hips. Everything you would want. You know, we saw his tape. He was a signing day kind of flip.
Yeah.
And we watched his tape, and it was just like, oh, man, this is an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to get a chance to do things on the other side.
The other guy who kind of spent time playing both sides of the ball last year, Isaiah Harge. He was, I think, the first player besides Travis to wear the gray two-way jersey, wasn't
yep.
he?
Yep. We were like, who is that? Who is that? Who
it
is
took
that?
A while to figure it out, too.
Finally got it. Another guy, just you got to find somewhere to use that athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's – I can't imagine it's easy for those guys to make that decision. But you just hope that someone's going to look like a genius at some point for suggesting those guys flip.
With Isaiah Harge, though, I mean, this guy, he's got kind of some pedigree there. His brother Ron Harge was a defensive back at Oregon State, of course, at CSU now, so – you know, there's some kind of lineage there at playing the position. He's from St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort yep. Lauderdale. That's yep. one of the best high schools in the nation. So the guy can play.
Absolutely.
Next guy, man. I'm hyped to talk about this guy because I thought he could be a real kind of underdog to come out of nowhere last year, and that's Israel Solomon.
Yes. Dude had so much internal hype. I don't even want to call it hype because – hype usually comes from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who could was saying nice things about Israel Solomon last year. Just how hard he works, how he's always in there getting extra reps, how he's making plays at practice. And then he got hurt, right?
Yeah, he played that scrimmage we saw.
Yep.
And then like shortly after that, he tweeted out that he was like done, basically. I think he yep. had shoulder surgery.
Yep, unfortunate. But... just one of those guys that you look at as a candidate to earn a scholarship as a guy who walked onto the team.
Mm-hmm. And again, this guy, I mean, he was a defensive captain at IMG Academy when he was there. Was their like leading tackler, did nothing but produce. I don't know if the injury is why he kind of went under the radar, but he wasn't really recruited highly by anyone. And then you come in and you see like where he comes from and he's at Colorado and it's like, wow, we might have actually got a steal here.
Yep.
Then we saw him in that scrimmage and he was out there all over the place, man.
Doesn't he also have good genes?
Let me double check.
Okay. I think I thought that he might have had some sort of NFL lineage.
I think his dad, I want to say. I don't see anything on his page here on the website.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. The next guy definitely does.
Next guy does. Nymir Robinson. Didn't see, I think he was a later addition last summer.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't really see too much. I do remember, I have one memory of him from last year though. The guy, I mean, he's a grinder. I don't think you were there. But
I Neely, was there.
You were there?
Yeah, I know what you're about to say.
So we went outside with Neely to record that video, just an after-practice video on Folsom. And Nymir Robinson's by himself running stairs in Folsom Field.
Yep. And he said something about how, like, my dad, you know, has always said whatever, like, something along the lines of, like,
mm-hmm.
I just know that I have to put in extra work. If I just do the same thing as everyone else, I won't be able to separate myself and get up to the level I need to get at. So he was putting in the extra work to try and gain an edge wherever he could.
But yeah, you mentioned the background, of course. You know he can. He has the athleticism to make it happen. It's, I don't know. He could pop, but man, we're so deep at cornerback. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a player that maybe takes another year or two to kind of get on the field.
And that's okay. You know, these guys are super young. Obviously, both of the last two guys that we talked about were freshmen last year.
Mm-hmm.
Walk-ons. And obviously preserved their red shirt. So they have four more years. And they're, like, this is the mark of a great program is when you see that they have great walk-ons.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep. You know, even the best teams in the country will have someone that's annoying. Even the best teams in the country will have a player who pops their senior year.
Yep.
Walk-on the whole time.
Yeah.
And now they're somehow in the starting lineup. And it was just like, oh, they became so entrenched in the culture, so entrenched in what it means to be, in this case, a Colorado Buffalo, that once they got to be 22, 23 years old and gained a little bit of a physical advantage over some of the younger guys,
yep.
All the things that they gathered mentally over that time popped. I think even Alabama had a walk-on wide receiver who was playing this year.
I don't remember if it was this year. I can't remember.
Slade?
Slade Bolden.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So we'll see. All right. Who is going to have the most interceptions out of this group in 2024?
The one who can create interceptions out of nothing?
No doubt. Travis Hunter.
Yeah. There's only one guy here who invents interceptions.
It's mind-bending.
A lot of times quarterbacks throw interceptions.
Yes.
They don't throw interceptions to Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter creates interceptions. Yeah,
he steals the football.
Yes, exactly. Does. Exactly.
Most tackles.
I'm going to go Preston Hodge.
Same.
All right.
I mean, I kind of already talked about it, but that nickel position I think is going to be huge. I think we're going to see him not only tackles, TFLs, maybe a handful of sacks as well.
Yeah, I didn't know. I remember last year, I think we talked about this, and I don't think I picked Travis Hunter to lead the team in interceptions because I said they're going to be afraid to throw at him.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that Travis would just trick them into throwing to him and yes. Go intercept the ball.
Yep.
Slade Bolden was 3 years ago, someone said.
I think so.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Ever since 2020, it all just seems like one long year.
I know. It's wild. All right, a few more notes before we hit a break here. This one kind of hurt, man. Our guy, Jacob Polite, entered the portal, or is going to enter the portal.
Yeah, yeah. He DM'd me on Saturday, let me know. I was super bummed. You know, it's funny because there's a lot of conversation now. People say, like, oh, you guys have such a great rapport with the players and you guys like give them a safe space and stuff like that. And like Tyler Brown and Jacob Polite were like the first two to kind of embrace us.
Yeah.
And you know, we had Jacob down here and talked to him. And then every time we saw him after that, he was saying, what up? Like,
oh, he'd always stop by when he saw us in the building to yep. Say what's up.
Yep. And you know, it was cool just so that we built that relationship with him. But there's also this wasn't even intended on his part, but there's a residual effect that the other players see, and they're like, oh, okay, well, mm-hmm. If he's cool with them, they must be cool.
Yeah.
And so I'll always be thankful for Jacob for kind of helping our, you know, relationship with the team.
Definitely, man. Super cool dude. We're rooting for him. Hopefully he lands on his feet. Maybe back home in Lubbock. Maybe yeah. We get to see him next year.
Maybe. And a good athlete. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously he was a long snapper at Colorado, but a big-time high school football player in Texas.
Yep. And then probably the biggest recruiting news over the weekend. Colorado was included in 2025 five-star defensive lineman Elijah Griffin's top 12. This is the number 3 overall player and the number 1 defensive lineman in the country.
Coach Prime's about to get comfortable.
If he isn't already.
Yeah. I just mean, if he starts landing, you know, the top players in the trenches each year, watch out.
So, yeah, keep an eye on him in the top 12. Georgia, Clemson, LSU, South Carolina, Louisville, USC, Miami, Oregon, Duke, Florida, Bama, and CU. Just another target to keep an eye on as we kind of go through visit season here. I think that's the last thing. I saw someone mention him, Zay Weaver. Wasn't able to perform at the combine. I think he's going or recovering from an injury right now. Did all
maybe
the measurements
the same
and
injury
stuff.
That held him out of the last week of the season? Hopefully not.
It was his shoulder, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah.
Actually, I thought it might have been ankle.
Oh, I think you're right, actually. It was ankle.
Yeah, pulling for him, it was kind of a bummer. I know that a lot of people went through this. Everyone's watching the combine all day, just like, all right, let's rep for our boy. And then they just cut to, like, a cutaway.
Yep.
And you saw Zay in, like, non-workout clothes, like, dapping someone up. And I was like, no.
Yep.
And then it came out that he wasn't going to perform.
Crazy stuff from the combine. What a draft class.
Dude. Worthy and Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. I asked Dre this upstairs. When do you think we get a 4-1? Next year? 2 years?
No. In the next 5.
Okay.
Bo Jackson, 4-1-2.
That's right.
Allegedly.
That's true. That's allegedly. True.
Of course, they didn't have the laser times back then, so it was a hand-timed 4-1-2 for Bo Jackson. Mm-hmm. Someone said, I don't know if this is true, but that, like, based on his speeds, if Usain Bolt had run a 40 time, it would have been, like, 3.6 or 3.8.
It's insane.
Can you imagine that?
No, I literally cannot.
And, like, I know that these guys just make so much money off their endorsements and stuff, and I'm just like, why couldn't we have gotten just 1 year of Usain Bolt in the NFL just to see what it looks like?
Yeah, just put him back there to return some kicks.
No, let him just – don't ever expose him to being hit. Just 9 routes.
Just send him down the field?
Yes, on the outside, past the safety, just throw it as far as you can and see if he can run under it.
We'll see. All right, we'll get to some Heisman stuff here. But first, a shout-out from our friends over at American Financing. Mortgage rates are lower than they've ever been in a long time, and last year interest rates were much higher than they are today. If you're looking to save some money, hit up our friends over at American Financing. They save their customers an average of $854 a month by tapping into their home's equity and wiping out high-interest credit card debt. They're a local Colorado-based company, licensed in all 50 states, though. So wherever you are, wherever you're watching from today, hit them up at 303-695-7000, and they can help you out. Call American Financing, and you may close in as fast as 10 days and may be able to delay 2 mortgage payments. Call them today and tell them DMVR sent you again at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Go to AmericanFinancing.net/DMVR. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Also, great time to become a DNVR diehard.
Yes, sir.
There's so many different perks to becoming a DNVR diehard, but it's honestly the single best way to support us. There's a lot of ways to support us, and you guys do a great job of all of them. But this one is direct support, which we really, really appreciate. When you become a diehard, you get an actual physical card, which is pretty cool. Like, if anyone ever questions your fandom, you just pull out your diehard card. You get a free t-shirt of your choice from the DNVR locker, access to all of our premium and written content, which we are going to up as the summer months come in here.
Diehard mailbag just came out last week.
Boom, diehard mailbag. You get a discount on merch all the time after you get your free one, discount on events. So whether you're local or if you're outside of Colorado, there's plenty and plenty of perks and reasons to become a DNVR diehard. So go to thednvr.com/diehard to sign up today.
And you get Discord access.
Oh, yeah. Discord's popping, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. So quick little note on NCAA football here. When we were talking about them sending out, you know, the notices and stuff to get players signed, I think the number was 11,000. They sent out notices to 11,000 players here. Sign on the dotted line. We'll get you the $600 and a copy of the game. They've received 10,000 plus signatures.
Huge. I was just thinking about the money of that. That's like $6 million, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I only care about one.
Shador?
Yeah. And I haven't heard it yet.
Well, maybe he's on the cover.
Maybe.
Maybe someone else's.
I did care about two. One of them's taken care of. Travis said he's in the game. So, obviously, I'd like to see every buff in the game. But there's, like, one thing that could make the game less fun to me is Shador not being in it.
I think he's up there to potentially be cover athlete. And our guy Yaya made some dope graphics. Look at that one.
Let's go. That's sick. What else we got? Oh, those are fire. Do we have them vertical too? Like a that's more like a cover? Okay. Hell yeah. Those are fire. Great job, Yaya.
Yeah. Yaya killed it again. But a little taste of what it may look like to have a buff on the cover of EA College Football.
Please.
All right, I want to talk about this because it was kind of a topic on Twitter. Reggie Bush and the Heisman. And Johnny Manziel, he had this tweet. I don't know if you saw it. But he said, after careful thought and consideration, I will be humbly removing myself from the Heisman Trophy ceremony until Reggie Bush gets his trophy back. Doesn't sit right with my morals and values that he can't be on that stage with us every year. Reggie is the Heisman. Do the right thing, NCAA. The ball's in your court. Much love, JM2.
Standing on business.
Yep.
I respect that from Johnny Manziel, who has kind of had a cool, like a
little
cool
come
turn.
Up. Little
yeah. come up. A cool turn in the eyes and hearts of America. I couldn't agree more. You can't vacate a Heisman Trophy, in my opinion.
No, you can't take away what was done on the field.
Exactly. And especially now that all of these changes have been made and like we've realized that players should be able to profit off of their abilities, I think that we can retroactively go back and say, Reggie, you're back in the Heisman house where you rightfully belong. Dude, when I think of the Heisman Trophy, I think of two players. Rashawn Salaam, which is a buff, and Reggie Bush. Like that's the second person that comes to my mind. That season was so magical. That run he had against Fresno State is like just lives on forever.
It's ingrained in my mind.
I always thought it was dumb to try and take it away, especially because they didn't give it to someone else.
Right.
Like it's just a hole in the thing. Of course, the fact that he like took whatever, a house, cars? I forget what it was.
It was stupid, whatever it was.
Doesn't change that he was the best college football player that year.
Yeah.
Which he very obviously was. It didn't help him at all. It's not like he was taking PEDs. If that's what had come out, you might be able to say a case.
Right.
But then you also have to give it to the person behind him. Like, oh,
yes.
That person didn't cheat, so they're in. Give me a break. Give Reggie his Heisman and get him back up there on that stage.
Just like what Johnny Football said, Reggie is the Heisman, you know, especially after this last year where the conversation was Jaden Daniels or Michael Penix. We were all on Michael Penix, I think. But we've talked about it. This was kind of a lackluster Heisman Trophy race. And Reggie Bush just won that thing outright. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Like, the way he was moving, just how dynamic he was just a generational player at that point in time in terms of college football standpoint.
It was amazing to watch.
Give Reggie Bush his Heisman back.
Amen.
Do a little CU hoops before we do questions.
Absolutely. And also, it just kind of goes back to what I say. Like I always say, like the only thing that's as good as winning a national championship is having a vacated national championship. Yep. Like you can't. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take it away.
Yep.
If the Buffs won a national championship and it was later vacated, it would literally change my feelings 0%.
I'm with Michael. I think of Charles Woodson and Desmond Howard, definitely.
Dez is a good one for sure.
Let's start with the women's team here because their season is over.
Well, their regular
season. Well, yes, the regular season is over. Pac-12 tournament gearing back up here this week for them, actually. They play Wednesday against Oregon, first game. It's actually 1 o'clock, so we'll be live kind of watching it.
Do you think that there's a case to be made for them getting the 5 seed being a good thing?
I mean, it's a yeah, definitely.
In retrospect, of course you would have rather just won the Pac-12 or something
right.
like that. But they've lost their mojo. And you know, I watched the senior day game. And, like, they just did some uncharacteristic things down the stretch that are not the reason why they got into the position they were in for a while there, which was a top 10 team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if they were to get the first round bye and have to draw one of these top 25 teams, like, I don't know, I would be a little worried about that matchup. Now they get to play the worst team in the Pac-12 to start off the tournament, and I hopefully get their mojo back, get comfortable on that court in Las Vegas, and just kind of play freely and just try and go get yourself a Pac-12 tournament championship.
I think it's just a good resetting point here for them. They've dropped 5 of their last 6, all against pretty good teams in the conference, very good teams in the conference, ranked teams in the top 25. They're still hovering around in there. They're 18 right now, it says. So, yeah, just get a little confidence back, a little pep in your step, and then you can kind of go on a bit of a revenge tour through the Pac-12 to try and win the whole damn thing.
Yeah, 100%. And hopefully allow some of the teams that you don't match up with the best to cannibalize.
Yep.
I think that they would play Stanford in the second round if they win.
Oregon State, I think.
Oh, that's not good. Oregon State, not a good matchup for them. I think they're 0-2 against them this year.
Yep.
All right, well, redemption. It's hard to beat a team 3 times in a row.
So, yeah, Pac-12 tournament this week starting on Wednesday with the championship match coming on Sunday. Bracket to be revealed shortly after that for the tourney. Then the men's side of things. Kind of just the opposite of the women's at this point. Yep. Kind of coming back up.
Yep. I have a weird taste in my mouth over the way that game ended yesterday. But other than that, they were fantastic. Basically a wire-to-wire victory.
Mm-hmm.
But then they just like weirdly like stopped playing basketball for the last 6 minutes of the game. And it was Tad Boyle, if he had any hair left to rip out, would have ripped it all out. They literally pinned him after every possession. And he's just like wanting to scream. Even though they were up by like 20.
Yeah.
But they end up not even covering the 12, which might matter to some. Anyways, forget all that. They are 30th in the net rankings.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got the breakdown from our guy, Tyler Ziskin.
Yep.
And I'll go through some of it here. But most important is that no team ranked 32nd or higher in the net has ever been left out of the tournament field.
Okay.
So they're 30th right now. They have 2 massive opportunities to go on the road and improve their resume. I mean, if they could somehow sweep this Oregon road trip, I think you could all but count them in. But even 1 out of 2 gives them a really good chance to get the first round bye. And I think there was some debate this morning over who has the tiebreaker between Colorado and Oregon. But this part is for sure. They beat Oregon.
Yeah.
They get the 4 seed.
They're the third in the Pac-12 right now.
They get the bye, I should say.
Yeah.
They're guaranteed a bye if they beat Oregon because they are tied with them right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some debate over even if they beat Oregon State and lost to Oregon, if they could still get a top 4.
Well, I don't know exactly what the tiebreakers come down to because they would have split the conference matchups at that point.
Yeah.
You got to beat Oregon. This is going to turn into the biggest game of the season now. You got to beat Oregon on Thursday. Just leave no doubt, man. I think that's where I'm at with this whole thing. Because, you know, Lenardi put out his bracketology. They dropped in that again somehow.
Yeah.
But I think they're just in a great position where if you just win, even win like 1 or 2 games in the Pac-12 tournament, I think you're fine.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, I mean, if you get that 3rd seed in the Pac-12, I think it's going to be hard for people to count you out.
Mm-hmm.
The Pac-12 should get 3 teams in, and if you're 3rd, then you have a great case for as to why you should be that one. I know it's not that simple. And here's basically what Tyler said. The Buffs don't have any great wins. The Buffs also don't have any bad losses. And it creates this weird, it creates this weird thing for the committee where it's like, okay, well, do you take them out because they didn't have any good wins? Well, no, because they didn't have any bad losses. It's like those 2 things kind of cancel out, and then they're a good team against the middle. But what's hard is I think that the committee favors have you proven that you can beat other teams in the tournament?
Yeah.
And they haven't. They straight up just haven't proved that. Mm-hmm. And it's not all their fault as much as it is the Pac-12 just isn't very good this year.
Right.
So I think Washington State is the only win that the Buffs have over a team that is definitely in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just really tough for them. But I think that as long as they are able to stay in that top 30 of the net rankings, the committee can kind of use that as a tiebreaker and just be like, okay, well, they don't have bad losses. They also don't have good wins. But they are, we've never left out a team in the top 32 of the net. And let's just say they split this weekend and they end up at 28. Like, we can't leave them out.
Yep. This was the Buffs' 10th time in Tad's 14 years of reaching 20 wins. In the previous 107 years of CU men's basketball, they only did that 20-win mark four times.
One more thing for from Tyler. He says, ultimately, it comes down to what the committee values, and each one has different focuses. The Buffs will be seen as much more favorable in a committee that values predictive measurables and acknowledges we've worked through significant injury issues. A more results-driven committee, which is sadly more typical, will probably view us more negatively amongst our bubble peers.
All right.
What did you say about the 20 wins, though?
10th time they've done it in Tad's 14 years. They only did that four times in the previous 107 seasons.
This is why it drives me crazy when people don't appreciate Tad Boyle.
I mean, if he's getting fired up on the sidelines and stuff, I feel good about this team. We just need Cody back. We didn't really get an update from him either yesterday. Still that ankle.
Cody, I mean, need him. Yeah. He could be the difference between what happens on this Oregon road trip.
Definitely. So stay tuned. Thursday's still a few days away. He's still got time to work it out. Did you see what the chat's talking about? Broncos informed Russ that he's gone. They're releasing.
Well, that I don't know why that's news.
He'll be released after the league year begins on March 13th.
That was one of the weirdest stories of all time. It was the most like... Like, we have to conjure up something to have a story on this, but everyone knew that the Broncos were done with Russ.
Oh, definitely.
And now we see what the Broncos do at quarterback, which I want them to not do anything.
I get it, but, man, can they just finally draft a rookie?
Nope.
Please, God. Give me
17 games of Jarrett Stidham, baby.
I would be ecstatic if they got Michael Penix.
2-15. Sign me up for Shador. Let's go.
I agree. But if they got Penix, I'm fully back in.
Trade down with a team that's going to suck next year. Somehow end up with two top five picks and turn that into Travis and Shador.
We'll see.
About that for quite a bit now.
If they get Penix, I'll be happy for sure. And I can maybe even talk my hands into tiny hands J.J. McCarthy. Talk myself into tiny hands J.J. McCarthy.
Goodness, man.
But I don't want the third or fourth best quarterback in a draft.
He'd be QB2 for me.
Penix?
J.J.
J.J.? I don't know.
Okay.
I just want us to just suck. Fully suck for 1 year.
Oh, I see the long-term vision, but my heart just hurts thinking of another just terrible Broncos season.
And I said this on the Broncos pod. I said, the Broncos are mind-numbingly boring, and that's pretty much going to force them to draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, they draft a quarterback, everyone's in.
Yep.
They don't, basically everyone's out.
Yep.
Can you handle everyone being out for one more year? I can.
I mean, I've been through it this long already. May as well keep it going one more.
Suck for Shador, baby.
All right, what's up, chat? Hit the thumbs up button. Also, subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And leave us a 5-star review.
Start with a super sticker from our guy, Big Teezy. Hippo
you.
Character smacks his hands onto his face and looks around to see if anyone saw what he just saw.
You just see a Travis Hunter interception?
I don't know. Or the chat being the chat.
Chill today, chat.
Yeah. Super chat also from Big Teasy. Would like to see Scoob on 21 Questions. Do you know who that is?
I don't. Sorry. Let us know.
If you had to guess whose nickname on the team was Scoob.
I don't know.
I'm going to say Preston Hodge.
Who's got Scooby traits?
No one.
I truly have no idea. I don't I don't know what's up with Cormani.
That's what the chat's been on about all day today. It feels like a throwback episode. What's going on with Cormani?
Like, it feels like it's 2023 again.
Yeah, we've gone back in the time machine.
Guys, if Cormani doesn't show up in a video, that doesn't mean something's going on. It's okay. True. If anyone doesn't show up in a video, it's okay.
Yes, exactly. Even if they don't show up in 5 straight videos.
Yes.
All right, next one.
Nicholas, who do you guys like at free safety?
Oh, no, Connor said, Connor. Do y'all count Christian Gonzalez? So this is like a funny bit from the Broncos podcast.
Yeah.
Because Zach Stevens, a illegitimate Alabama fan, claims Jalen Hurts as an Alabama quarterback. And I say, no. Wherever they played last is where...
I don't agree with that.
Where you get credit for.
I don't agree with that.
So because of that, I cannot claim Christian Gonzalez because it goes against my morals.
But Jalen spent most of his career at Bama. He only had the 1 year at Oklahoma.
So? He got sent to the curb.
But it's like Joe Burrow, like the 1 year at Ohio State where you weren't on the field. Like if you're a Buckeyes fan and you're claiming him, that's where I'm like kind of, come on, man. Like, what are you doing?
Uh-huh.
But
Buckeyes and you're a Michigan fan.
No, it's not. If you were on the roster for only 1 year, you didn't play, that's totally different than playing in national titles for a school.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, it should just be up to the player who they claim, but it's more fun to just tell Zach that he doesn't get to claim Jalen Hurts. I don't claim Christian Gonzalez, but I absolutely claim Zay Weaver.
Okay.
He played like, and I don't really think USF can claim Zay Weaver.
Christian Gonzalez played in 18 games for the Buffs. Mm-hmm. That's 6 more than he played in at Oregon.
I know.
And you still don't.
I got to stand for something.
All right. Fair enough. I'm not going to tell you how to think about claiming your team and players.
There we go.
Nicholas, who do you want at free safety?
Anyone?
I mean, we're pretty talented back there, too.
I think that it's time we stop using the term free and strong safety.
Fair enough. It's almost like your ability and your traits kind of define what you are rather than you play this position.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, almost, not all, but almost all defensive coordinators are kind of using those guys interchangeably at this point.
Yeah.
It's just about putting them in a position to succeed. So, I don't know.
I mean, obviously, Shiloh, Cam, and then Cam talks so much about Jaden Milliner-Jones, and we saw what he did at the end of last year.
And it's easy to forget about Slush.
Of course.
Who, like, you know, was a big part of the TCU win.
Yeah, definitely. Before he got hurt. Definitely. When do spring tickets go on sale? We don't know yet. Did you get an email today?
No. Well, I got many emails today, but I don't look at them.
No news today on the football front.
If you're trying to contact me, never send an email.
I've learned to also never send you a Slack message, too.
Slack message.
You have to call RK if you really want to get in contact
with me. No. Well, call, definitely number one. Text, number two. Slack, number three. Email, number four.
Yep.
The problem with Slack, which I try to be good at responding to Slack, but I'm in the All City Slack, the DNVR Slack, the PHNX Slack, the CHGO Slack, and the PHLY Slack. So I'm in 5 Slacks.
That's insane. I tried to balance the two at Super Bowl, getting all the stuff in the All City one while still having DMVR, and it was like
I couldn't function.
Yeah, I had to like take a look at my notifications at one point. Because I'm just like, okay, I can't get notifications from everything. I have to like prioritize what I get notifications from. So like shut off the Madden chat. I shut off Discord. So I'm like, if my phone's just constantly buzzing, then it none of them ever matter.
Yep, I agree. Do we have a Discord? Yeah, man. Sign up to become a diehard. And then there's a link on that diehard page to bring you into to the diehard lounge.
Yeah, so the Discord is exclusive to members.
I love our Discord, man.
It's a good time.
That's where I also drop some little nuggets and stuff. A lot of basketball talk in here recently.
It is a good place to like drop some info that you can't share publicly,
mm-hmm.
but you want the people who are in the club to know.
Yep. Then M. Godley, does Colorado make a bowl this year? Yes.
Easy.
Ivan, when will spring game tickets go on sale? I do not know. Also, when do the DMVR tailgate tickets go on sale for the spring game?
Sometime after when we know when it is. Or when we know where it is, I should say.
We're still 2 months away, basically, guys. I mean, we just started March. We have to go all the way through to the end of April for that to happen. So,
a lot of big plans, though, just for the season in general.
Yeah, come down to Boulder, especially if you're from out of town. Hang out for the spring showcase or whatever it ends up being called. Spring week or whatever it is.
Yep.
That it?
That's it.
All right, good show. We'll be back tomorrow. I got some ideas for this week that we're going to cook up.
Uh-oh. All right, sounds good.
And we're going to have guests coming later in the week, too.
Hell yeah.
At least one on Friday. I don't know about Thursday yet. I'll see.
All right. Let's go Buffs.
Let's go Buffs.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.